everybody. I'm Liz Nolly.
And I'm Carrie Thomas.
And welcome back to the Just Us podcast with Liz and Carrie, a place for Black women navigating corporate spaces.
So, Liz, why do you think a podcast like ours is important?
So, in my journey as a C-level advisor to corporate executives for the last 30 plus years, I have often been the corporate Jackie Robinson, meaning the first and the only person who looks like me in the room. And however y'all interpret that, you're probably right. And what I found was that being in these rare spaces, I've learned a lot of secrets to success that you don't learn in school, you don't learn in certificate programs. Most of us, like I'm first generation corporate professional in my entire family, right? Don't learn at home.
Mm-hmm.
But other people are two, three, four generations of company A, B, or C. You know, and I'm talking major, like Fortune 500, 100,
yeah.
Fortune 50 companies, right? Mm-hmm. So I created my coaching practice to share what I've picked up that they didn't realize they were putting down,
right.
Okay, mm-hmm. to level the playing field.
Yeah.
And I'm on a mission to share what I've learned being in spaces where most of us are not,
yeah.
So that we can help other people climb
right.
that ladder. So
we're here to pass the code, so to speak.
Exactly. And this podcast is an extension of that mission.
Yeah. I think before we get into it, there is one thing I want to add to that, too, because I don't want it to sound like we're out here to tell you how to change or sell out, dare I say. We're here to explain how it works in our experiences.
Absolutely. Pull back. It's all about pulling back the curtain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And ironically, that's a limiting belief that's just not true.
Yeah.
Like, corporate leaders want you to be your authentic, full, whole self.
Yeah.
Because that's who they are when they come to work.
Right.
Right? And the more you mute your voice and the more you're not honoring your personal brand and your identity, the least successful you're going to be.
Right.
There's just a way to bring your whole self to work every day in corporate settings in a way that's situationally appropriate.
Yeah.
So I think that's lesson number one. Right. Is that
absolutely.
You can be yourself and brand yourself in a way that's authentic to you and still win in business.
All right. Well, let's crack some codes today.
Okay. So today we're going to do a readout.
Mm. Yeah.
And then we're going to close the show with our favorite segment.
Boss it or toss it.
Hey. So let's get into the readout. And I'm going to invite our listeners to submit their letters as well, or even come on the show if you want to get coached live on the air. Just go to lizthepurposecoach.com/podcast. There's a short form. You fill it out, and who knows, the next letter that we read could be yours. Okay, so let's get into today's readout letter.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "Dear Liz and Carrie, for the last 8 years, I've been working as a manager in corporate America. Lately, I'm starting to feel like change is coming, and not in a good way."
Mm.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
"And with all the tariffs and federal budget cuts, I've seen my friends and family members lose jobs that we used to think were good government jobs offering job security." I'm going to pause right there.
Please do.
In corporate America, there is no such thing as job security. They can fire the CEO just as quickly as they can fire anybody else up in the corporation.
Yeah. I've been laid off at four different levels. So It keeps happening. But no, seriously, it doesn't matter where you are.
It's not so unusual.
No.
It's not so unusual. So one of the limiting beliefs that we have to let go of is this myth around job security, right? And what's really interesting about these times and days that we're living in is that those good, stable federal jobs, you know, aren't so stable.
Absolutely
today,
not.
And
no.
I think they are getting a dose of what we in corporate have always known, that the company's going to do what the company needs to do.
Right.
And so if you get laid off, it's business, it's not personal.
Right.
So, okay. So the letter goes on, it says, and now this trend is starting to hit closer to home. Okay. My company has been talking about, quote, reorganizing to right size to meet the needs of a changing marketplace. Girl,
I've heard that so many times at different companies.
The corporate speak is alive, well, and so real.
Yeah.
I may have even written that memo once or twice in my career as a corporate communications professional.
Sure you did.
But that
I can think of an example.
You know what I mean? So anyway, so the letter writer goes on to say, translation, layoffs are coming. Yes, my love, you are absolutely right. And while I understand that's how corporate America works, what's really keeping me up at night is who is being impacted. When I look at the names on the chopping block, it's clear that Black women in senior management are being hit the hardest. The few of us who have made it to the top are either being laid off, pushed out, or leaving on their own terms to start businesses or do something else.
My ministry.
The result? Leadership is looking less and less like me, and the few Black women left seem to have one foot out the door. It's like we're disappearing one by one.
That is interesting, because that is exactly my experience and why I'm no longer in corporate America.
Yeah, I mean, the statistics are like startling. I think there was like a Wall Street Journal article or something that said something incredible, like over in a 4-month period earlier this year, over 300,000 Black women were exited.
Right. Not by their own.
You know, but when you look on the other side, the fastest growing demographic of entrepreneurs is Black American women.
Because we are choosing not to return to the chaos that is currently corporate America. Now, don't get me wrong, people want jobs, people want secure jobs, but that's just not a consistency these days. So I can understand why we're taking it in our own hands to, you know, create our own opportunities.
I frame that this way in my own experience. It's financial stability is what I want, not job security.
Right.
Right. And that was the impetus for my own entrepreneurial journey.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think when I was working, you know, commuting 2.5 hours to get to work, working 12 hours and then commuting another 2.5 hours to get to home. I was like, man, if I can work this hard for somebody else, what would happen if I put in the same
for yourself
level of effort into something of my own?
Exactly.
So, all right, back to the letter. So she says that when I brought this up, this is really interesting. She says, when I brought this up to a seasoned colleague, another Black woman, she wasn't surprised at all.
Okay.
In fact, she told me, well, what did you expect? We're always the canary in the coal mine when it comes to these things.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep your head down, stay off the radar, and do your work.
I have thoughts, but I'm going to hold on to them until we get through the letter.
Okay, hold those thoughts. Okay. Her words hit me hard. I mean, I know the world we live in, but hearing her say it so plainly has me shook. what exactly does she mean by canary in the coal mine? And if she's right, what am I supposed to do about it? I've got bills to pay and I need this job, but I can't help feeling like I'm walking on thin ice. Sign, stressed out corporate canary, go.
Well, I agree with her on the canary in the coal mine. I myself have been connected to that reference on at least two occasions in my work as a corporate professional. I've been called the canary in the coal mine because I called out what was happening in a toxic situation, a toxic environment. And I've been called the canary in the coal mine because I could see what was coming and I tried to let my people know, prepare yourself because this is what's happening.
Yeah.
Right. But I do not agree with keeping your head down and staying off the radar. I think that that is an outdated mindset to me. Some people might say, but I need this job. But I don't think that it matters whether you keep your head down or you stay off the radar or not. Like, they're going to come for you. They're going to come for you.
Yeah. I mean, I've said it before on this podcast and in other places. A layoff is the least personal thing that a company does. It's a pen stroke. It's often a numeric decision.
Yeah.
We got to cut X of dollars. Okay, here are the people at this salary, blah, 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 or whatever the case may be, right? Like, the people making those decisions is a business decision.
Yeah.
Right?
I think we should explain the reference canary in the coal mine, though.
Okay.
Me?
Yeah, please. Do the honors.
Well, so it's a coal mine reference, right? So, back in the day when the workers used to go down into the coal mines, they would take a canary, and if something happened to the canary, that would let the workers know that there were, like, you know, gas down there that you could then die from inhaling, or, you know, it was like a dangerous environment, basically. Right. So if the canary passed away
or started having some sort of
some kind of reaction then the miners knew, like, they had to get out of there.
Right. Exactly.
So that's what it means.
Exactly. Thank you, Carrie.
You're very welcome.
You described that beautifully. I wish I had sent Tweety Bird down in that coal mine, but that's a whole nother.
We're not talking politics.
We're not talking politics today.
Okay. Because I was about to get into it.
Okay. That's another show. We'll save that one for another show. So
what advice do we give our good sis here?
So here's the thing. This article brings up so many thoughts for me, as it reminds me of there's a clip of Trevor Noah going around the internet where he says, I wrote it down because I wanted to quote him accurately on the program. He says, people will always be shocked. They'll always be like, why do black women turn out the way that they do in America? Why do they vote the way that they do? Yeah, it's because they know what happens if things don't go the way they should. They cannot afford to fuck around and find out.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say, I tell you now, do yourself a favor. If you truly want to know what to do or how to do it, or maybe the best way to do it or the most equitable way, talk to black women. So, you know, I talked to a lot of people who are, like, freaked out by, you know, like, just the today in America. And I was like, well, you know, it's not that I'm not upset about it, but it's like your shirt says, go send somebody else to go do it. Because we've seen this movie before.
Right.
Mama, my dear, grandma, mom, auntie taught us how to make a dollar out of 15 cents. Mm-hmm. We're going to be all right because we always are. We've always figured it out.
Yeah.
Right. So So that energy, I think, in our corporate journeys, when these things seem so big and insurmountable, when we're hearing things like, well, at least you have a job, you, like our bosses are telling us that.
Right.
Like, we don't have to be shuck and jive grateful for a job. Like, we're thankful, like, thanks to him for giving us the job, or whoever, whatever, you know, power in the higher power in the universe you recognize. Like, that's fine, but that's where it stops. You're not beholden to that boss. Like, he's not giving you that job at a charity. He's paying you, like, for the contribution to the bottom line that you're making.
Right. And there's no loyalty to you because, again, like you said, it's a pen stroke.
Exactly. And it's transactional. Like, your day job is a transaction. You come in, you perform certain duties and responsibilities, and you get a check, right? Or whatever. So I think what's interesting in when I think of our role as the corporate canaries in the coal mine is that everybody wants to be like a black woman. People get BBLs to
to look like
this
one.
This was natural. Yeah. Thanks, mom and dad. but I'm just saying, like, people darken their skin. They wear wigs and hair and they change their hair to look like us. Mm-hmm. They imitate what they think, girl, or whatever this is. I don't even, we don't even do that. Yeah. But people think we do that, so they imitate it and appropriate it. And, do you know what I mean? Like, they cosplay as black women, like, and things of that nature. So people want to be like us. They want to wear their hair in cornrows. They want to do all these things like us, but they don't necessarily always value us.
I have something to say. Because what you said is one of the things that triggers me the most. Mm. They do. Like, the most loved, but then disregarded person, in this country at least, is the black woman.
Malcolm X said.
And I don't even, you know, because I have friends of all different makes and models. And it always kills me when they want to love on us, but then question why we may feel a certain way about things.
Or question our ability to be in the space that we're in.
Right.
You go to Harvard, have law degrees, top of your class, and they still don't understand, and they still call you a DEI hire when you're in the Supreme Court.
Right. Or feel like they're entitled to be in our spaces.
Spaces. That part.
Hello.
That part. So, and some of y'all keep inviting them to the cookout. So knock it off. But I digress.
We're going to have a separate
conversation about that.
Top 10 about why I am not going to the cookout.
Okay. All right. Say less. So, but, you know, the corporate gaslight game is so strong because they will say, you go ask. You go ask. You speak up for the team. You go test the waters, Carrie, and everything like that.
Yeah. So you go do it.
You demonstrate the managerial courage.
Get somebody
and,
else.
You know, exactly. And, you know, and then they don't listen to you. Right. Or they give you 100 reasons why what you're asking can't be done or whatever the case may be. And then when it doesn't work out, they want to blame you. Well, how did you let that happen? Corporate gaslight game is so real.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I say that just to say, OK, what can we do about it? Because, you know, we could go on for days like talking about the problem, but my corporate training tells me never bring up a problem unless you got a solution. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's no silver bullet here. There isn't. But what I would tell our scared corporate, our concerned corporate canary,
our stressed out corporate canary,
our stressed out corporate canary, I would tell her to, first of all, don't respond to what's happening emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's easier said than done because we're all people at work. We're whole beings when we go to work. But just remember, nothing that's happening there is personal. It's all about business, man, right? So So try not to respond emotionally. Try to keep it focused on processes, not people, because that helps to depersonalize and de-escalate the emotional undertones of what you're saying. Right? Yeah. Focus on processes, not people.
Can I get emotional at home, though?
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. Listen.
When I walk in my apartment, can I say,
the minute you leave that building,
you get in your car, you'd be like,
and you are out of swipe card
these.
Distance from the door. You can do whatever you want, though. I'm just saying, at work. But that's why you need your tribe. That's why you need your people, right? That's why you need your.
That's what
your,
I was going to say. Your best girlfriend.
Your besties group
and be like,
chat.
Let me tell you what happened today.
Exactly. Or call us. Write us. Message us. Record a video message. Come on the show.
Come join just us.
Come on the show and let's talk about it. So that's number one. Number two, document. You've got to see why you're A at all times, like so that you can have you can make your own case and control your own narrative. Mm-hmm. Because when people come questioning, oh, well, you know, blah, 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 because they do question, there is a little art to the science of laying people off. So they do, they will test the waters around, should this person stay or should this person go? So you want to document your successes. Every time you get a win and do something big for somebody and they say, oh, great job. Say, you know what, would you mind sending my boss a note saying that?
Yes.
And copying whoever needs to be copied,
Put it on paper.
Put it on paper. And if something feels sideways, document that too. You got to see why you're A in corporate settings, right? And then the last thing I would say is, and this is something, is to make your problem somebody else's.
Yes. Don't sit in silence.
No. You can't be out on a limb like a Tina Marie record,
right?
When stuff is getting crazy at work, you need to bring other people along, escalate. Yeah. Because the minute my problem becomes somebody else's problem, now we're all vested in finding the right solution together.
Yeah.
So do not suffer silently.
No.
Right? Or be out it's there a, by yourself.
It's a we all need to figure this out. Not a I need to figure this out.
Yeah. Yeah. And, and ultimately it's about, practice mindfulness, meditation, protect your peace, right? And leave work at work.
Yeah. That is one that I tell my friends a lot. Like, I have a couple of friends who are super driven corporate professionals. Mm. It's like, come time to do their performance plan, they're like on it, they're strategizing about the next level, and all of that is great. But when the corporate culture is crumbling around you, none of that really matters.
And even when it's not.
Even when it's not, yeah.
You have to, a sorority sister of ours in my chapter said this, and it stopped me in my tracks. She said, a good job, even the best job, will never love you back.
No.
Mm-mm. She got bars. But I'm just saying, but she's right. Yeah. She's right. So you give the job what you need to give it. To maintain your half of that transactional
and then you
relationship,
yourself.
And then you go like that. You work a job. You have to have the job needs to serve you in your life. You don't build your life around the job.
And I still believe this. Even as an entrepreneur, I work to live. I do not live to work.
Amen. Wait.
One more for today.
Well, I think that was this worthy.
Yeah.
It was, because I've been there too. So any other advice for our stressed out canary in the coal mine?
No, I would reiterate all the stuff that you said. Protect yourself, protect your peace. Have your own strategy. Make moves that are right for you. Leave work at work.
And I would say secure the bag. One of the best self-care things that you can do for yourself to lay off proof your life is to tithe at work.
Right.
Put 10% of your check away for you.
That's it.
Not for him, not for the babies, not for the dog, not for the whatever.
For you.
Like, have your freedom fund. Have that freedom fund somewhere. Put at least 10% of every paycheck that you bring home, every dollar, everything that you make, sock it away. Because when corporate America do what it does, you're going to be all right. Because the thing that we as Black women fear the most is some financial instability or insecurity, right?
Listen, as an entrepreneur, that is my existence from day to day. But you didn't use these words, but the exit strategy is key. The exit strategy.
And you got to have a freedom fund to support that.
Mm-hmm.
So
whether because the exit strategy could be proactive or reactive. It could be planned or unplanned.
Yeah.
So just prepare for when it happens.
You got to have your financial go bag ready.
Right.
I watch a lot of gangster movies.
But you also.
Wait. I got a light drop. Go live. Okay. Sorry. So that's our readout for today. Again, if you want your letter read, please hit us up at livethepurposecoach.com/podcast and submit your letter as well. So thank you, Corporate Canary, for your letter. We appreciate you. We're here for you, sis, if you need anything.
Let us know if that advice resonated with you also.
And if you're watching, drop your additional advice into the comments, the chat. So you never know who you can help. That's what this is about, building a community that can support each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Purposeful coach.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's do my favorite segment. Are we going to boss it? Are we going to toss it?
I may have to do some tossing just because it's fun to toss.
It is fun to toss. But, I mean, like, let's be real about some of these things, too.
We always real.
We always real. So, in the spirit of corporate leadership and our professions, let's do depictions of Black corporate professionals.
Ooh, I like where this is going.
In entertainment.
Oh.
Okay.
Get my cards ready.
You ready?
Wait. Ready? All right. Let's do it.
Okay. So put together a good list.
Okay.
So let's see what you think about this.
Okay.
You remember the movie Boomerang?
Boss It.
I didn't even...
I know, but boss it. Strange.
Sorry. In this movie...
Let me let you finish, but
thank
Strange.
You. For all the youngins out there, in this movie starring Eddie Murphy...
And Strange. Grace Jones
was Strange in the movie. You do.
Okay, sorry, my bad.
It is about a bunch of young Black professionals in marketing, actually. And Eddie was one of them.
Marcus.
Yes,
I can't Eddie roll my
Marcus.
R's like that.
And also in this movie was Martin Lawrence.
Yeah.
John Witherspoon, R.I.P.
Coordinate.
That's classic. He played Eddie's father. But
played David Allen Greer's father.
Oh, yeah. How can I forget about David Allen Greer?
Coordinate. You got to coordinate.
So in this movie, the depictions...
Sorry. I might say that once or twice before we get on to the next one. So
the depictions of these corporate professionals, it showed them being... having money, being fashionable, living well, hanging out, being aspiring. So I was going to ask if you would boss it or toss it, but I think we already know the answer.
Now. Boston. I know that shocks you, but Boston. Well,
I'm so shocked.
I love this movie. Love it, love it, love it. One of Eddie Murphy's best.
Yeah.
Right. For all the reasons that you just said.
Yeah.
Because when I look at movies, I rarely see accurate depictions of a black corporate experience.
Yeah.
Rarely. Now, this one was Hollywooderized, but there was so much that was real about this. But the thing, one of the things that I loved about it was even down to the Chris Rock character. Yeah. Marcus had a life at home, so you got a sense of his friends and his people. He had his tribe at home, so you could see that, right? And then he had clients, yeah, right, from mm-hmm. Stranger and Lady Eloise.
Yep.
You know, shout out to the late, great Eartha Kitt, and shout out to Auntie in my head, Grace, the legendary Grace Jones. But, you know, but, and the casting and all of that. But even Chris Rock's character, who was the guy in the mailroom, like,
right,
there was... You talk about representation on representation on representation, plus shout out to Chris Rock, who had one of the best lines in cinematic history. First the Fat Boys break up, now this. Google it, youngins, Google it. Like, yes, you know, like, boss it, boss it, boss it, yeah, boss it, boss it all the way.
I'm bossing it, too. I'm with you on that. Everything okay. that you just said as well.
Okay.
Okay, so this will... I'm just going to throw it out there.
Okay.
The Cosby Show.
I'm going to boss The Cosby Show.
I'm going to boss it.
Because, shout out to Boomerang. Boomerang was sort of the cinematic equivalent of The Cosby Show when it comes to corporate yeah. professional representation.
Yeah.
And I realized it was about Cliff and Claire, power couple, and, you know, doctor, lawyer. Not exactly
well, we
corporate.
Need to but see we that, need though. To see. I mean, law firms and hospitals are the biggest corporations. So if you think about it, absolutely.
And but we can be whole. We can have whole lives.
Yeah.
We can have whole lives. And I've always said this. I always identified more with the challenges and the struggles and the ups and the downs of the Huxtables than I ever did with the Evanses.
Like, absolutely.
Because yeah. I saw myself there,
right.
not with James and Florida. Shout out to them. But
right.
I'm just,
I mean, hey,
that wasn't my experience.
That's a time and place, and people have that experience. But people also had this experience to a degree. And I think it's fair that we had both of those depictions. So
we were nowhere.
I absolutely have. I loved Claire and Cliff.
Me too. I never saw my family on TV until
yeah.
I watched The Huxtables. Not
yeah,
that
and
mom
I think
and dad
that was
were
like,
doctors and lawyers, but both HBCU graduates,
right.
first generation, although Cliff and Claire were second generation.
Right.
But that was dope.
Our
so,
people needed to see that.
Absolutely. Boss it all day.
So next up. Any Tyler Perry movie.
I'm going to run out of cards in a minute.
I know. I know your sentiment. On
you know I have this love-hate relationship
movie.
With Mr. Perry.
I mean, the movies and TV shows are good for... They're good for some...
Tossing.
No, I am tossing.
No, they're good for tossing it. That was my only point.
I think someone in the
but
background,
Tyler Perry,
someone in the cheap seats has something to say.
Tyler Perry, if you want to come and produce the Just Us podcast at your studio in Atlanta, I'm here for
where,
it.
She
King.
Will. She
I'm
will
here
boss
for
that.
King. Come on, King.
Let me say this. I think that it is good for entertainment purposes. And sometimes it's fun to make fun of ourselves.
Yes.
We do it. So there is a place for Tyler Perry
yeah,
and his
absolutely.
Movies, but I am not inclined to dive into his depictions of corporate professionals in those movies. That's just...
Wait, time out for some black conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to say. Well, that's not all I'm going to say, but...
What else you gonna say, Liz?
First of all, you know this, and I'm gonna share it with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
have a love-hate relationship with Tyler Perry. I think the man is a business genius. Mm-hmm. Shout out to him. We mm-hmm. need 100 million more like him telling stories and stuff like that. But he's so one-note in his depiction of us.
Yeah.
And that note is so wildly inaccurate
yeah.
that I take offense to it because there aren't that many of us in corporate America, black women in corporate America.
Yeah.
And we can't always be the villain to his beat down, downtrodden, you
right.
know, struggling on the come up
mm-hmm.
black woman that he loves to
yeah.
Make as his heroic archetype. We can't always be the villain to her.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that part is nails on the chalkboard to my soul. And
yeah.
and the few depictions in his movies, I mean, it's a sad day in cinematic history
yeah.
when legends like Angela Bassett and Felicia Rashad can only get work in a Tyler Perry production, but you know, and it's an even sadder day when somebody with his power, influence, and the power of the camera, power of the mic, can't depict us.
Yeah, he doesn't evolve. He
way.
Has not evolved, in my opinion.
And it's his right. That's his mama.
Right.
And he's paying tribute to her and all this kind of stuff.
And don't get me wrong.
That's his experience.
If you were to ask me, is Madea a national black treasure? I would say yes, because that is
iconic.
We can relate.
I'll give you iconic.
no,
it is.
But we can. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like
yes.
that's that one character.
One character.
But the consistency of the main characters and the tropes that he replays over and over again to me is a toss it.
And
yeah,
and she's
you.
Always depicted, we're always the antagonist. Us black corporate female types are always the antagonist.
Right.
And
yeah.
I don't like it. So, okay. Sorry. I'm back.
I got another one for you.
Okay.
Any Steve Harvey movie?
Carrie.
Can you name a Steve Harvey I'm going to say this. So, what's the name of that book? Think Like a Man.
Think Like a Man.
So the movie itself was funny, but what it is depicting of us as professional people, I did not agree with.
More black conversation.
Yeah, it's pretty much in line with what we see with Tyler Perry.
100%. I mean, two words, Michael Ealy, shout out to him. Loved him in the, like, rock on, brother. But other than that, like, I will only give Steve Harvey, who was the least funniest of the darn kings of comedy. Yeah, I said it.
He
shout
was.
Out to Bernie Mac.
Least funniest.
All day.
Bernie Mac all day.
I will give him a pass on one character, and no, two characters, but one corporate woman character that he got right.
Tell me.
Boss lady on the Steve Harvey show. R. Greer.
Oh, Regina.
R. Greer, boss lady. Heck yeah. Heck to the yeah, the principal. Heck to the yeah. I mean, she, like, now, I'm also boss of LaVita Alizé Jenkins
you
all day.
You have to.
All day. But you know, but LaVita wasn't in, like, she was in an administrative support role, not necessarily corporate, but he did get R. Greer correct.
Yeah.
But
she
in
was
those
boss lady.
But in all of, but in his movies, like, you got chicks like in skin tight outfits with 8-inch red bottom shoes, you know, dating broke ass joke.
Let it out, girl. Let it out. I will. I just want to quote my.
Put the new edition back on.
I just want to quote my favorite line from a Steve Harvey movie, which was Think Like a Man. Miss Johnson, I'm ready for the tour. Shout out to Kev Hart. Kev Hart.
No such shout outs. No such shout outs.
I
delete
mean,
that.
It was funny.
Delete
it was
that
funny.
All right. Here. Delete that.
Moving on.
Yes.
Empire.
Oh. Oh.
We talking about Lucious and Cookie Lion.
Cookie, yeah.
And Lion Records, Lion Enterprises, whatever you want to call it. What you think?
Oh, so I'm a Boss Empire the first 3 seasons. Maybe I don't know how many seasons there were, but the last two I wasn't feeling. But like when Empire came out, like I'm a boss because I love Lucious. In the early years, before it got really weird with him and Boo Boo Kitty and all this other kind of stuff. But, like, in the early years of Empire and Boss All the Way, it was wonderful to see us in a hip-hop, authentic hip-hop R&B, you know, kind of a situation. I don't like Lee Daniels, I'm going to just say that. But I'm not a Lee Daniels fan. The invisible pearls. I'm not a Lee Daniels fan, but I did like, although it was wildly unrealistic and all of this kind of stuff, but it was just nice to see some different level of representation of us on the screen. So I'm a boss Empire. The early seasons.
Hot take.
Okay.
While it was fun, it was really a horrible depiction.
Ghetto ratchet. Oh, yeah.
Not even that, because, you know, we all deserve a little ratchet.
Wildly inaccurate.
Inaccurate,
probably.
But also, like, these people reportedly made their money off of the backs of their own community. So I cannot boss that.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I feel you.
I'm talking about them like they're real people.
I feel you. Shout out to Big Red Records and that whole genre of representation
exactly.
And stuff like that. But you know,
you feel
like,
me?
Yeah, you know, but that there's a kernel of reality underneath all of that. But Terrence Howard carried that show the first couple of years, and Cookie's little ratchet behind was right there.
Yes.
So
as he did in what's the name of that movie?
Hustle and Flow.
No. The movie with the fellas, the best man.
Oh, the man. Best man. Yeah.
Now that I'm a boss.
Yeah, all day.
All day.
All day. All day. Okay.
What we got next? Let's see. Oh, Living Single.
We are living single. Wait, how'd the girl go in the in a
in
90s kind of world?
I'm glad I got my girls.
You got me dancing. I got a bad back and the whole night. But
I mean, you know,
I'm bossing.
I'm a boss living single all day.
Deja James. Flavor
she started
magazine.
Her own magazine.
Shout out to Maxine, the Maverick Shaw. Like shout out, yes.
Best lawyer on the planet.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
And
yes.
Regine, let's not forget her.
Wait, the episode where they go to the club and she's flipping.
There was something about those girls that resonated with every person who was a young black professional of the 90s.
100%. When you talk
still
about
today.
Seeing yourself on screen, there's the episode where the four of them go to the club because Regine's friend is DJing and Kyle and them keep trying to get in, but they keep getting kicked out and everything like that. Like, that was my lived experience. I was like, oh my gosh, I have done everything in that. I've been chased around the bar by Goldie too and given a fake name and the whole nine. I've been Shaquan, you know, like
absolutely.
The whole, like
we learned our life lessons about becoming an adult from that show.
It was so real. Like I have done everything that's been that was in that episode. It's my favorite.
I love Living Single.
Boss Living Single all day.
All day. So, in the same area as Living Single, what would you say, girlfriends?
I don't have enough cards to toss.
You got a lot of cards over there.
Joan was toxic. And
which is crazy because one of my least likable characters, but also she played one of my favorite characters.
Rainbow.
The
versatility.
We talked
Tracy,
about in previous episodes. Yeah. Well, that's one reason why I love her.
Yeah, but hated. Like, remember Living Color? Hated it.
Right. Two snaps down.
I said it.
Joan was toxic. Her friend
Tony was toxic. Lynn was like,
yeah.
And
it
I'm
was
sorry.
Completely different.
Maya was the most bougie, non-ratchet, ratchet character on television. I was like,
the bougiest. Yeah.
Really? She's supposed to be the girl from
the... By the end, her come up was... Like, so, in the same way that you loved, like, maybe the first couple of seasons of...
Empire.
Yeah. That's how I feel about Girlfriends.
Okay.
Initially, it was great to see these professional women, but then it's like, you just... The relationship amongst them, they started to be jealous. They started to be hateful. Like, I just did not love that part of Girlfriends.
At all.
Oh,
I think that's a testament to who's behind the camera and who's in the writing room.
Right.
Because Living Single, Yvette Lee Bowser, like...
Yeah.
Totally different product on the screen. So good that Friends had to steal it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And appropriate it and gaslight the world into thinking that they invented
right.
the formula,
Something
but I digress.
New. Right. That's another story.
But Girlfriends, you know, you've got Frasier Crane behind it.
Kelsey Grammer.
I mean, you know, good for him giving black women work, but...
Yeah. Questionable.
There was some flavor missing from...
Not that I'm speaking for Kelsey Grammer, but it was one of those things where I'm just putting my name on it to say I did it.
Either way,
yeah.
there was no flavor in the production.
There definitely was not. We kind of mentioned Blackish already, but I want to say, like, we love Rainbow. But in this instance, when we talk about, because we talked about her as black TV moms, but in this instance, we're talking about like Dre and his work as a marketing VP for some agency. I forgot what it was called. But in the room with him, you have Charlie.
Love Charlie.
Who, even though he is the comic foil
in these shows,
love him.
He's my TV spirit animal. I love him.
He is the goofball in the room.
Love it.
But then when you find out, he's a brilliant man. Because he's actually
a college
the
dean
of students at the college at a major university in this. In this universe. So
can I just say I love his dynamic with Diane.
Yes,
when
absolutely.
She's like Charles.
Yes.
I'm going to boss Blackish all day. Like growing up on the agency side of the marketing world in my early career, there's so much that resonates.
You could relate.
That you can relate to. And then Dre's struggle with being, you know, the urban VP versus
right.
just a regular VP.
Right.
And all of that. I think we
so
can
so many corporate lessons from
you could relate
Blackish.
To so much so relatability.
Yeah.
Boss that. All
so
day.
I'm definitely bossing how they depict them, and also the fact that you know Dre keeps learning as a professional,
yeah.
as a parent, and as a human. I just love that show. It was definitely a milestone, and I don't think people give it enough credit. So I'm a boss it.
All right. I'm bossing it right there with you for all the reasons, what you said.
How about Insecure? Did you watch that show?
I did. Don't be mad. Don't be mad. I know I'm
Don't
supposed,
worry. I'm a boss it.
I know I'm supposed to like it.
I do.
It's like sweet potato pie. It's something that I know.
Hold up.
I know I'm supposed to like it, but I just Listen, don't. It's just not my cup of tea.
I'm about to push you over there with Kevin Sage and your pumpkin pie. You better not be riding for pumpkin pie out here.
I'm not mad at anybody that likes the show. I actually like some of the depictions of, like, I like the friend group. I basically liked everybody but Issa on the show. I like the whole
Well,
friend group
yeah, her character was,
and
that was the whole point. Her Issa character was
awful, terribly acted. Like, outside of the first, like, episode where she's rapping to herself in the mirror, like she gave me nothing. But let me just say this. Like Tyler Perry Productions, I'm not the target demographic for that show.
Okay.
The people in the target demographic love the show.
Yeah.
And I'm not mad at it. Shout out to Issa Rae. She's gone on. But I will say she does have Spike Lee disease in that she's much better behind the camera and in the writer's room and being creative than she is. Here's my Issa Rae in every movie impression.
I am not bossing reason. I am bossing Insecure.
She's a boss, though.
She is a boss.
When she's not acting.
I am bossing Insecure because of the depictions of her circle of girlfriends in the show. Molly, corporate lawyer.
I liked Molly. Yep.
While her love life is ridiculous.
But it's realistic.
She was able to navigate working in a law firm, working under trying circumstances from time to time.
Agree.
Even having a relationship with one of her coworkers. I do like the way that that was more realistically portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
But not just Molly, their friends, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Kelly, like Charles from Blackish, was the comic foil, you find out in the show she's like the boss chick.
Yes.
She worked for like the IRS. She was like this financial wizard.
Yeah.
So, you know, credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
There were really some positive depictions of corporate professionals, with the exception of Issa.
You don't like my Issa Rae face?
No. It's scary.
I know, right? That's my point exactly. That's why I had to toss it, because it's scary to watch her.
All right, I have one more.
But shout out to her behind the scenes, and she'll always get props from me for like that time at, I forget whether it was at the Essence Awards.
I'm rooting for Everybody Black.
She says, "Who do you want to win?" I'm rooting for Everybody Black. So shout out to Issa Rae. Just stop acting. That's all. Be behind the camera. All right, sis. You can pay me for that one later. Go.
One more.
Okay. Last one.
Abbott Elementary.
I love this show.
I'm going to boss it.
Look, Ava my corporate spirit.
Speaking of boss lady principles.
when she says, "Not today, juvenile."
It gave you the spirit. Listen, Ava has made herself iconic in the way that she runs that school. She is authentically herself, but she actually gets the job done.
And she has a heart, and she's imperfect.
She has a real heart.
She's imperfect.
She is perfectly imperfect.
And what I love about her character arc is she starts out as a manager, thinking just because I'm the boss, I could come in, I could do whatever I want to, do whatever. And as she learns the politics of dealing with the district and all of this kind of stuff, and she learns that she's got to go change from a you go to a let's go to a we go to get the other teachers behind her to save the school, to save her job, to say, you know, and all these kinds of things. But she's just funny.
She is super funny.
She is so
funny. One of my favorite episodes is when Ava takes on the dance squad and they have to get ready to perform. And it is so good because you really see the humanity. And when you watch that, you find out she might be goofy, but she is no dummy.
No, right.
And that's what I love about that show. So I'm a boss. I'm a boss Abbott.
And she's a sorority girl like us.
Right. Yes, she is.
And her sorority sister, Tatiana Ali. Shout out to Quinta Brunson for the platform and for giving Jalen Hurts his first acting role. Shout out to, any excuse to see Jalen Hurts on a big screen without his helmet on, right. I'm for it. Thank you, Mrs. Hurts, our sore, for sharing the world with him. Sharing him with the world, but, you know, sorry, I digress.
Is this a trend? Because you also shouted out Method Man.
I had to shout out the Kings. I like my Kings. I like my Kings, and I got to give my Kings their crowns when crowning is due.
That's it.
So, yeah.
Well, that's all we got for
I love this Boss It or Toss It.
Boss It or Toss It.
I love it.
For this week.
Thank you, Carrie.
You're welcome.
That was awesome. And that's today's episode.
That's all we got, right?
That's all we got for today.
Before we go, though, let's remind folks about our merch.
The merch shop, the store. You get a mug, a t-shirt, Carrie's t-shirt.
Available.
We'll soon be on the store.
In the store.
So support us, please. If you like if you like our podcast, like, subscribe, and share, and shop the merch. It's one of the ways to help bring future episodes to you.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Carrie. Cheers. There's nothing in my glass. But it looks good on TV.
It looks really good.